Good afternoon. Welcome back to Passionate Internet Voices Talk Radio, Inc., a league of nations among other internet radio talk stations, voices of the people, united we roar. Today is June 2nd, 2008, and now from 4:30 to 5, Kids, Tweens, Teens. A positive psychologist takes a look at all three with Dr. Barbara Becker-Holstein. Good afternoon, Barbara.
Good afternoon, Lillian. Hi, everybody. I'm delighted to be back with my show, Kids, Tweens, and Teens. And we want to look at them, better understand them, and we want to talk about a lot of the concepts that kids have to struggle with and deal with as they grow up. And we're doing this in many different ways. I've basically set the stage by writing my latest book, The Truth, I'm a Girl, I'm Smart, and I Know Everything. And in this book, page by page, a 11 and a half year old girl writes her thoughts, her feelings, her innermost perceptions of the world, her wish list for when she grows up. And we can begin to see many of the issues that not only did we have to face growing up, but kids continue to have to face. And it really behooves us to look at these issues, understand them, work on them, and not just put blinders on as the grown-ups in a kid's life. Now, I am very excited today. I really can hardly contain myself because this is the first time with my book, The Truth, that I have been able to get on the radio show, a mother and daughter who have both read the book, where we can discuss life concepts, the book, of course, but also how a mother relates to some of the issues brought up and how a girl relates. And let me introduce, I have Robin Enns, who is the mother. Hi, Robin.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon. How are you today, Barbara?
I'm great, Robin. I'm delighted to have you on. And you are a birth and postpartum doula, which means many things of which you're going to describe later, but certainly you are right at the start of a baby's life, and that also is important. Every moment is important. You'll tell us more. And Rachel, hi.
Hello.
Now, Rachel, I'm not sure. Are you 10?
I'm 11.
You're 11, and what month is your birthday month?
I was born in February 7th.
Okay, so you are you're a few months into being 11.
Yes.
And you're born a week before Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So I am so delighted to have both of you on. And I think that we're going to bounce around on a number of subjects. But I think, first of all, maybe each of you, in your own words, could just tell us a little bit about yourself, whatever you want to share. And at this point, Robin, if you want to set the stage a little bit of what your professional life is all about, go right ahead.
Well, thank you, Barbara. As you mentioned earlier, I'm first of all a mother of two wonderful daughters. One is age 11, Rachel, who's present with me. And I have another daughter who's Rihanna, age 6, who is over at a sitter's. We'll be disturbed by her asking for some juice, possibly, while we are doing this.
Right.
So, as you mentioned earlier, I am a birth and postpartum doula. I'm not sure. A lot of people often don't even understand what a doula is exactly. The word itself is a noun. It's from the Greek word meaning woman servant. And what a birth doula does is she's a trained professional care provider who understands and trusts the process of birth and provides continuous physical, emotional, informational, and spiritual support during labor, birth, and the immediate postpartum period, and is skilled at facilitating the birth experience for the both parents and the babies. I'm also present there not just for the woman actually delivering the child, but I am there for the partner as well, and that plays a great role in that. I also do what's known as postpartum doula work, which provides comfort and support and it's like mothering the mother after
mm-hmm.
she's given birth to kind of give her that, not necessarily to take care of the baby themselves, but to kind of help the mother develop that confidence necessary to help to raise her, you know, confidence level regarding taking care of her own baby. So that's it's a wonderful work. It's incredibly rewarding. I cannot describe the feeling. I often tell people that the first-time deliveries tend to be a little lengthier because it's a, you know, the first-time mothers, the labor generally can be a little longer. But those are the most spectacular and special ones for me because I don't only see the birth of a child. I see the birth of a family.
Mm.
You know, I'm honored to see the way the husband or partner gazes into the other, you know, into his woman, his wife's eyes, and it's just, it's a remarkable moment. You know, I'm truly blessed to have found this vocation.
That's
truly
great.
Honored.
And I'm sure it fine-tunes you for many of the issues we're going to talk about. And Rachel, tell us a little bit about yourself.
All right, I'm Rachel. I am 11 years old. I am in fifth grade, and I go to Taunton Elementary School. It is a public school.
Good. And some of your interests or hobbies are?
Well, I enjoy writing a lot. I also like to do dance. I play the flute, and I do other things like drawing, and I love to read.
Great. You have a nice repertoire of interests and hobbies.
Indeed, she does.
Yeah, and that's so, so, so healthy.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to ask each of you to give me some impressions about the truth so that we can begin to set the stage of discussing some of the issues and maybe even reading a couple of passages. I'm curious, Robin, how the truth, I'm a girl, I'm smart, and I know everything, affected you. And the same with Rachel. You know, I know we get influenced by the people we live with and love, but maybe you can give a shot at us, you know, just how it struck you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yes.
Rachel, would you like me to go first, honey?
Sure.
Okay, great. Well, basically, I found this book really seemed to touch upon that sometimes challenging tween stage that so many girls go through. It highlighted the changes a girl faces, kind of with your body altering and decisions which kind of catapult you to becoming a young teenager and eventually a woman. And it helped me to recall being that age myself. I remembered at one point when I was 12 years old trying to choose whether I should play dolls with my younger sister anymore or just focus on trying out the latest lip gloss and writing in my diary and trying to be an adult. You know, you're at that stage. You're trying to let go of your youthful practices. And yet, but you know, you're not quite in your you're hitting puberty and your hormones are, you know, making your body alter. And I also had the pleasure, frankly, after reading this book, of recalling my first crush and my first kiss.
Wow, can we hear about that?
Absolutely. I would love to share this. It's a really cute little story I found. It's adorable. Anyway, my childhood sweetheart, Greg, grew up just up the street from me. We grew up together, and he lived only a few houses away. I had siblings. He did, too. We all played together in the neighborhood, and we absolutely adored each other. We had this wonderful little bond and things, and we kind of, like, grew up together. Well, one night we were up there, and we had all played together and did the usual routine, and my brother, sister, and I were heading home, and Greg had hidden behind a big blue spruce in his yard.
Mm.
Well, as I walked by, he raced out, tackled me, kissed me, and then ran back to his house. So I was very surprised, needless to say. I mean, I think I was 11 years old, probably your age, Rachel, possibly 12. I remember being, like, right, you know, at the thing, and I was really stunned. So I got up, and I just walked home. The funny thing is, years later, our families remained in touch after he moved away and whatnot. We kind of ended up getting back together. And I was able to inform him, as a grown woman myself, and let him know that he actually had kissed my eye and not my mouth. But all the, our first kiss was not actually, you know, my first was not actually a kiss. It was on my eye he had kissed me because it was dark. We were going home. So
what
we had a good laugh about that. And we talked about how magical it was when we were children, how the world was just a magical place. It was, you know, through a child's eyes. It's a beautiful thing.
Wow. And did he seem like he had some fond memories of that, running out of the bush himself and kissing you?
Oh, absolutely. Like I said, we both laughed about it. He was stunned. He said, I kissed you on your eye? I said, yes, you never know. I said, because I never, you know, I just never told him that. So it was,
wow.
really, it was rather a fun thing. And it was wonderful to see him again. And like I said, we both really have wonderful memories as children being together and, you know, growing up together and just adoring each other.
Beautiful.
So yeah, like I said, it was fun. The book helped me to retrieve those memories, you know, and it was a fun thing for me.
That's so pleasant to hear. I always find when I do a workshop that just about every woman in the room has a first crush memory that does come back to her, whether it's when she was 5 or when she was sometimes not till 15, but they're always there. You know, and sometimes they're so secret that there's nothing that ever comes out. Like, you sort of got something special out of it in that one moment. But for some women, like one of the women who had a crush on one of her older brother's friends, she didn't dare to talk about it. There was no kiss. There was nothing. But she clearly remembers it as her first crush. And... all right, well, moving on to Rachel, what were your feelings and thoughts as you read the book?
Well, yes, I really enjoyed the book. It was a quick, easy read, and it really did show what teens, preteens, and even what older teens and women might go through. Like, the moving part, I moved quite a few times in life, and I felt the same things she did. Like, you're excited about it. You want to get to see the new house, get new friends, and start the new school and everything, but at the same time, you're sad, you don't want to leave everything you grew to know, you don't want to leave everything you got used to, and all your friends, and that really got to me.
Yeah, yeah. Now, the second book, which I haven't quite finished, I must force myself back. You know, writers go through these loops where we work so hard, and then we kind of back off, and then we have to push ourselves back in. But the book opens with her standing in her house, and she's made the move, and it's still quite an adventure to really feel comfortable. It takes a few months. And I'm
yes,
sure,
it does.
Yeah, I'm mm-hmm. sure you found that. What were any of the other themes brought up that you could identify with?
Well, I saw that this was only in the Chinese version, but the Valentine's Day part where she was saying that she made Paul, her crush, his Valentine, a little bit bigger than all the others. I used to do something quite similar with my Valentines when I was little. I would, their little heart seal that you put on to seal the card, I'd put it on a certain way to show if I liked the person or not. If I liked the person, I'd make it so the top of the heart showed. If I didn't like the person, the bottom part of the heart showed. And if they're, like, okay, just a friend, I'd make it so half of the heart showed.
Now, was this kind of a secret, or did the kids pick up on what you did?
No, it was a secret I kept all to myself. It was just my little secret, like it was her little secret that she had made his a bit bigger.
Right. You know, that's so interesting. Isn't it wonderful, don't you think? It's mm-hmm. part of the human necessity that we have some little secrets.
Mm-hmm. Yes, little things that we keep to ourselves and make us feel happy about.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
And I think even as adults, you know, Robin, I have little quirky things, like I'll leave money around on the street or something so someone else will find it, and you know, well, obviously I'm revealing that secret, but
I was like, where do you leave this?
It's really...
I need to go.
Yeah.
How much?
You know, it'll be like at the most a dollar. I mean, usually like 35 cents.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just know the sensation that people feel when they look down. You know, it's a good one.
Oh,
so,
yeah, well, that found money is a fabulous feeling. It's,
yeah.
It's like a little treasure. And there
exactly.
are other avenues and other things that are treasures in our life, like going into, like... for a woman, like going into a store and bringing something up to pay for it, and you discover it's on sale after you decide to purchase it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a little treasure, like little moments like that in our lives.
They are. They really make the day. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yes. Little moments where you're like, oh, my perfect luck.
Yes. Yes. And my perfect luck, and we all need that. And I'm trying to think in the book, well, I say that the little girl has some perfect luck, although sometimes it's mixed. For example, she finally dances with Paul, her friend, that you know, the boy she is in love with, but by the time she dances with him, she's taller than he is.
Mm-hmm.
You
so
know.
Then she can only see the top of his head. She can't see his face.
Right, and she can't look into his eyes and swoon, you know. She's already working her way perhaps a little bit past him. At least that's what I'm thinking. And that usually happens with first crushes. Have you had a crush, or is that too personal to ask you, Rachel?
Well, when I was in, I believe it was preschool, I did have a crush on a boy. And that was really happy for me. Mom told me that I was continuously saying, oh, I'm going to marry him when I get older. Oh, I'm going to marry him, and we're going to have a happy life.
Uh-huh. And, Mom, you got a little tired of hearing that?
Absolutely not. I thought it was precious.
Yeah.
No, she liked him, and he was a very nice young boy, and they just seemed to have a nice little bond. And she just used to say, and she would, like, say her name with his last name, and that was Chris, right, honey?
Yes, his name, I believe, was Christopher Hamill, I believe it was. Yes, Christopher Hamill.
I hope it's okay that we use his last name, because now
sure.
He's 11 years old. I'm like, I don't know if he's going to necessarily like that, but it was actually somewhere else we used to live. But, yeah,
well,
I remember
saying,
that it was adorable.
You're saying nice things about him. How could he be offended?
Exactly.
Of course.
Exactly.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That's very interesting. I'm trying to think, was there a particular page that you liked the best, Rachel, or is that too explicit a question?
Well, it's been a while since I've looked
yes.
at the book, because we actually loaned the book to another friend of ours,
uh-huh.
Carmen, but really, I don't remember a particular page I liked. The whole book was just amazing.
Well, I treasure that, and what more could an author want than a kid to say that the book was amazing? That's like my heart is like going pitter patter here, sitting in my office.
Yes,
it means a lot to me, because this, you know, I've been doing psychology work with women for, much longer than you've been born, Rachel, you know, over 25 years. And, yeah, and it's only in the last 3 or 4 years, I've always seen kids in my practice, but it's only in the last couple of years that it came to me that if I could also find a voice that really talked to girls and teens and tweens, that the next generation could perhaps preserve more their own self-esteem and feel great about themselves and satisfied with who they were, even with certain blows, like, for example, going through a divorce, which is hard on a mother, and, you know, it's hard on the kids.
Absolutely.
Yes, it is.
And very often women, we're intimidated, you know, if we're panicked about money, or we're criticized, you know, we're kind of the first to collapse sometimes. Well, for whatever reasons, men are often a little more directed and able to stay focused, and even in sports, you know, they lose a competition, it's, well, okay, how can I better train for the next one? You know, and we're more... There's been a lot of research where, like, they'll put girls together and they'll put boys together. And let's say the girls, rather than being competitive, if someone doesn't feel well or trips or something, they're all involved in helping her. They're forgetting they're even playing a sport.
Exactly. I think it's kind of our nature. It's our cultural way that of being here. The women
right.
are taught to be more nurturing.
Yeah.
The men aren't allowed to be. They're viewed, you know, unfortunately for men, it's sometimes viewed as being nurturing is not manly. And
right.
that's rather unfortunate.
It's very...
I do feel that that's altering over
mm-hmm.
time. I don't feel that's as present as when I was a young girl, but I think that that's our cultural anomaly here.
Right, right. Yeah, I think there are a lot of men who are softening, for sure. And society has more room for all sorts of people and all different styles of people. Tell us a little more... Rachel, do you have any sense of what you'd like to do when you grow up?
Well, one thing I really wanted to do, like the girl also wanted to do, I want to travel. I want to be able to see all these beautiful things in the world that people need to see, like see some volcanoes in Hawaii, perhaps see the Eiffel Tower, go see some other cool things in France, or maybe go to Rome, whatever, go anywhere in the world, like Africa.
Wow. That sounds very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
I really hope you get to do a lot of travel. I think it's so important, and it really brings people together and makes us better citizens of the world.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It truly opens up your view of the
world. Yeah.
I traveled as a young woman through Europe in my 23 years old, and I have every intention of sending my daughter over. Both of them, to some sort of a tour like that, just to understand different cultures and things like that. It really truly opens your view of the world, traveling like that. It's like,
yeah,
a great thing, honey.
I went also in my early 20s, and I had to push my parents for a long time to get permission and get some cold cash, you know, to do it. But I remember that it left me feeling empowered and with a sense of myself that I never could have got locally. And even when some of it faded, I was still ahead of the game.
Absolutely. It offers you a different understanding of yourself, makes you value. It completely alters you.
Yeah. Yep.
Definitely.
Yep. Rachel, do you have any promises you've made to yourself? For when
well,
you grow up.
Well, the traveling thing was one thing,
mm-hmm.
and another thing is I want to be able to, like, understand the children that I have and be able to tell them the truth, even though the truth may not be the best thing. I won't lie to my kids. I'll be able to listen to them, and I'll understand them as much as I can and try and help them. Like, in the book, it says that when she asked her mother about, you know, things like when will she need a bra, and she asked her some things, the mother would just walk away and not say anything and say, oh, you're too young to be asking about that. Me, even if my child is young to be asking, I would tell them, oh, you need to wait a while, or explain to them that's not going to come yet, and tell them about that and explain things to them.
Wonderful. Yeah, all these are very, very good promises, and I can tell with the intensity in your voice that you will carry them out. I'm absolutely sure of that. Our time has flown by. Robin, are you looking for people to be in touch with you? And if so, what would you like? How would you like to connect people?
With my company?
Yes, yes.
Oh, yes. My company's name is Star Birth Services. I'm located in central New Jersey, and I do serve the entire state of New Jersey. My telephone number is 732-276-5643, and I can, of course, be reached any time, day or night, you know, especially when I have a client that's going into labor at 3 a.m.
Sure.
And such, and I would love if anyone would like to just call and just get information about it, like what the services I provide or exactly what a doula is or something. I'm certainly open to that. You know, it's also my part of my job, I feel, to bring women to what it is they help them to decide what it is they need. So oftentimes I land up telling someone, you know, perhaps this isn't the way to go regarding postpartum or something like that. Perhaps you would just, you sounds like you're seeking more of someone, just a nanny perhaps to help with the other children or something. But I'm a great resource for a variety of different people, you know, from midwives to masseuses, and oh, I'm also a CMT, so I provide
that
as well during life. It's a certified massage therapist, so that helps the women tremendously. I give a great foot rub, I'm told, during labor, you know, and that's most helpful, especially lower back pain and such like that.
Oh, this is
help
fabulous.
Out the fathers as well during that, because sometimes can be a worrisome, tense moment for them, but
I provide
a great deal of education.
That's great, Robin. I hope that people keep your number around and pass it along. And it's just such a needed service in today's society, the way people can't really use a hospital the way they used to. Even say if you're going in for minor surgery, you can't go in the night before and get comfortable. So I imagine that you might even be available to spend the night with someone who's going into surgery the next morning.
That is definitely a possibility. That was something, that would be an avenue I would absolutely consider.
You know, because I once had major surgery, and I had not a friend at the time, I had just met her, but she was a masseuse. She came over the night before, and it tremendously helped me. It really did.
That's marvelous.
Yeah.
It just having that continuous support makes such a difference.
It sure does. And, Rachel, what would you like to say? What else would you like to tell people or just share with the universe?
Well, I'd like to recommend some other books that I've read and I've thought that are just amazing and that I really enjoyed. The Series of Unfortunate Events are very good books for children, for kids my age and a bit younger, a bit older to read, because it has a bit of mystery and it really, really keeps you thinking. Because every time the three children get an answer, another question arises. And
oh wow!
It's really an unknown series where you're always thinking. And another series I really enjoyed was the Twilight series by Stephanie Meyer, about a girl who is, I believe, 17, and she moves from Phoenix, Arizona to Forks, Washington, and goes to live with her dad instead of her mom. And there she falls in love with one of the strange boys there, and it turns out that him and his whole family are all vampires, and she gets, like, wrapped up in this huge world, and she figures out that there are werewolves and vampires and all these unknown creatures living among the world.
Wow. These sound like great series, and I'm glad you alerted us to them. I'll go take a look, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope you'll stay interested and read the second book in The Truth when it comes out. I'll make sure that I get in touch with you.
When is that due out?
Well, I don't have a due date yet, but I would expect that I'll release it within the year. And that's okay for you, Rachel, because the girl will be 12 to almost 14, so, you know, you'll be perfect for it.
Mm-hmm. They'll be around my age then.
Yeah, yeah.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds great.
Yep.
She'll be the same age bracket again.
That'll be good.
That's fabulous.
Well, thank you both very, very much. And this is Dr. Barbara Becker-Holstein signing off for Kids, Tweens, and Teens. A positive psychologist looks at all three. And you can find The Truth, I'm a Girl, I'm Smart, and I Know Everything on Amazon. Look for it. And you will see the reviews by Rachel and Robin. You'll get a kick out of that. And I hope you will read the book and leave your own review. Goodbye for now.
Thank you very
much.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much for listening to Dr. Barbara Becker-Holstein with Robin and Rachel and Kids, Tweens, and Teens talking about her new book. And if you want to hear all three of them speak all over again, please go over to http://internetvoicesradio.com. Go over to the Silver Page section, and you will find Dr. Becker-Holstein there, or go over to the archives, click on that, a list of names will appear, and Barbara's among them. If you want a download, an MP3 stream to put into your portable player, look at the lower right-hand side of the page where you will see VIP, click on that. You can sign up for free, and then for $2.60, you can download it into your portable player. All transcripts of the programs are $1 a minute, $15 deposit, PIVTR. Whether providing you with the advice of experts or giving a voice to the average person who would not otherwise be heard, PIVTR emphasizes quality and enriching programs for our listeners' enjoyment. And if you want the transcript, please contact lillian.caldwell@gmail.com. And before you go away and stray, Edward Bulwer Lytton had this to say in 1835, yield to a man's taste and he will yield to your interests. Thank you all very much for listening. Our next scheduled program begins at 8 o'clock tonight, sponsored by Star Publish. Check them out, starpublishllc.com, Marketing for Fun and Profit with Janet Elaine Smith, followed by The Screaming Woman with Toni Quest, and wrapping up the evening is Tom Zord and Lillian Caldwell Poetry Show. Thank you all very much for listening, and remember, keep listening. Good night.